Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
I am so excited about today's talk. We are in a local church here. It's a Presbyterian church, and it's got beautiful, you know, pews, and it's just a pretty sanctuary where a lot of people come and gather, I suppose, each and every week. I've never really been to a service here. I'm kind of busy on the weekend with my church, but I value church because God values church. Do you know, I found over life's journey that a lot of people that have marital problems, struggles with their kids, they're depressed, they're on antidepressants, they're seeing counselors like crazy. I found a common denominator, and it is that most of them are not involved in a local body of believers. Churches look different. There are big churches, there are small churches, there are medium-sized churches. Stained glass, no stained glass. Hymnals, you know, these people, apps, Faith Church has an app, right? It's just a different time, but they're all valued and they're all beautiful. Oftentimes I say that, you know, the local church is like a pair of jeans in the sense that one that fits you won't fit me. Something that's comfortable for me might not be comfortable for you. And certainly age groups differ because I have holes in my jeans today and people, you know, older people sometimes make fun of me. Well, can't you afford a pair of jeans that don't have holes in them? I always laugh and say I have holes in them because I'm praying all the time. Of course, we know that's a joke, but at the end of the day, it's a different mindset. You know, through our ministry, we minister to hundreds of thousands of people a week through that little camera, through that screen. And a lot of people think, well, I get church at home. And there's a value, certainly, to getting church at home. But the Bible said here, forsake not the assemblings of yourself together. And when the evil day approaches, do it all the more. God was essentially saying, don't just stay home on the couch. Don't just sit in your favorite recliner. I need you to go to church because church is where the magic happens. It's where the change happens. It's where community happens. It's where the anointing comes in and people are worshiping God together in unity. And then God shows up. You remember that passage in Acts 2 when God started the church? By the way, God started the church the way he wanted it. And now he wants the church the way he started it. A people of passion, a people of power. And Acts 2 says this, and they were all in one place, assembled in one body. And then suddenly there was a sound from heaven. And the sound from heaven came in like a rushing mighty wind while they were worshiping and praising God. That's something that can't necessarily happen on your couch. That happens in community. That happens by saying, I'm going to find a local church. I'm going to plant myself there. I'm going to be faithful there. Remember the Bible said, the faithful person shall abound in the blessing. Are you abounding in the blessing right now? Do you feel like there's more for your life? Do you feel like, man, I just can't quite get over that hump, or I keep hitting this glass ceiling, I feel cramped? I guarantee you it has a lot to do with the community that you're involved in. People love community, young people, old people, find a church. Well, you like a big church? Well, Faith Church might be that for you. We have smaller communities, that might be that. I mean, you might go to a Presbyterian church, a Baptist church, First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, whatever the denomination. I don't believe that matters as long as they're preaching the name of Jesus. I say a lot of times that labels will limit you. You know, if you got a tag on, if you're going up, it'll fall off. If you're going down, it'll burn off. Tags burn off. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus. Another thing that holds people back oftentimes, maybe you're watching today and you've heard this by people. I want to invite my friends to church, but the thing they say is they say this. Well, there are a lot of hypocrites that go to church. Here's my answer back to that. Don't you ever go to Cracker Barrel because we go there too. Don't you ever go to Walmart because we go there too. Hypocrites are everywhere. So let's totally get rid of that myth. God actually speaks forgiveness into you and to me and to everyone. It's like saying all people are bad. You know, all guys are bad. All girls are bad. All cops are bad. All doctors are bad. There are bad doctors. And there are good doctors. There are bad lawyers. There are good lawyers. So we can't judge the whole body of Christ, the church, or we can't judge Jesus or the people who represent Jesus by one person. Have you heard about the little boy who attended church for the first time and his parents asked him, said, what do you think about it? He said, well, the music was great, but the commercial was way too long. I certainly hope our commercial isn't too long. You know, here at Faith Church, we try to make things fast-paced. We're making sure the lighting's good, the worship's good, the cues are good, the sermon's not too long, it's not too short. We put a lot of thought process into it because we know that you, especially younger people, are really, really busy. And you want to get the maximum results out of the time that you're at church, and you want to feel the maximum impact. Yeah, I heard about a little sweet old lady who went to the post office, and she went to buy up 2 stamps, and the postal worker told her, you know, you can go over there to that machine, and you can buy these stamps. She said, well, yeah, I know I can do that, but the machine never asked me about my arthritis. People want community. People want to talk. They want to feel engaged. They want to feel loved. They want to feel connected. They want to belong. Actually, I want to read this story to you out of John, the 8th chapter. It says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning, and he came again into the temple. And when he came in, he sat down and he taught them. Notice this, Jesus went to the temple. I want you to shout that with me. Jesus went to the temple. That's right. Actually, that means Jesus went to church. He went to church and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman that had been caught in adultery, placing her in the midst. And they immediately said, hey, listen, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And I know Jesus is probably thinking, how'd you catch her in the act of adultery? What channel were you watching? Come on, look at your neighbor right now. What channel are you watching? How do you know she was caught in the very act of adultery? Verse 5 of John 8, 5, it says, now did not the law of Moses command us to stone this woman? What do you say? They said this to test him, that they might have some charge against him. And Jesus bent down with his finger in the ground, and he begins writing in the sand. And one of the things he says is, let him who is without sin cast the first stone at her. And once he bent down and he wrote on the ground, and they heard it, they went away, beginning with the oldest to the youngest. And then Jesus stood up and he said to the woman, where are they? Where are those people that condemned you? Where are those people that accused you? In other words, these guys were hypocrites, and they were pointing out the sin in her life instead of pointing out the sin in their life. And Jesus was saying, let's don't point out the sin in anyone's life. Let's allow the grace and the love of Jesus Christ to change our life. Let's not just go to church. Let's be the church, and let's allow this woman to be forgiven. And he spoke to her and said, go and sin no more. You know, the power to quit that thing that you hate, that you do, that you keep praying for God to forgive you over, and you just keep doing it. The only way that we can really overcome those battles is when we realize that God loves us and that he loves us no matter what we've done or what we're going to do. His grace is sufficient for us. The Bible said his grace is made perfect in our weakness. Now, this is the kind of thing you figure out when you start going to church. When you go to church week after week and you sit at Faith Church, or you sit in a church, that it's important that the church preaches the Bible and that it does it in a fun way for you. Again, like the pair of jeans, right? The jeans that work for me might not work for you, but you've got to find something that is encouraging and comfortable for you. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying back then when he said, don't allow the hypocrites, don't allow the finger pointers to mess with you and keep you out of church. Maybe you got hurt at church, you got lied on at church, or you just got tired of going to church. You felt like there was no value in church for you. You might need to keep shopping, kick some tires until you find the right body of believers, because again, life is too short to do it alone. You will receive power. Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and the uttermost parts of the earth. I want you to know today, church, Faith Church, those of you that are listening to me, we have a job to do. We have to convince people that church is relevant, that church is powerful, and that church is something you can't skip out on. Church is not the occasional thing that you do on Easter Sunday or you do it on Christmas. No. Church, faithful church attendance is a proven fact statistically that it makes you live longer and healthier and enjoy life. So don't you for one second allow some hurt or past offense to keep you out of God's greater blessing in your life. But there's some studies that was done recently by a university, and here's just some of the cool things that they said about it. People have a better life management ability when they go to church. Research has shown that grades are higher because of church attendance. It says longer life expectancy. Don't get me wrong, the death rate of Christians is still 100%, but they live longer. It says, this, you're going to love this one, number five, better sex lives. A recent university in Chicago did a study, a comprehensive study, and found in their sex survey that people had dramatically better and more frequent sex as married churchgoers than people who didn't. I mean, church is a place of stability, a place of happiness, emotional control. Life begins on Sunday. Life begins at the local church. Life begins when we gather. You know, the statistical data is there, but more importantly, the biblical data is there. You know, we find this passage, and they'll put it on the screens for you. Matthew 18:20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be among them," or "I will be in the midst of them." God absolutely is with you all the time, but there's something significant that happens when you go to church. When you're in a community of believers where God actually shows up and he does a work on the inside of you. That next verse in 21, it says, "Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Like, I'm really spiritual today. And Jesus said, "No, I don't say seven times. I say 70 times seven." In other words, 490 times a day, God wants you to forgive other people. I mean, you could only experience that kind of flow when you go to church. Forgiveness for you happens. This feeling that you get to where you know God's not mad at you happens when you go to church. Also, that anointing comes in and it gives you the ability to stop doing that same sin that you get sick to your stomach about, that you keep doing, that you hate yourself for. Strength comes. So when you go to church, the right church, it can't be just any church. Now, it might be big, little, short, tall, small, old, new. I'm not saying about that. Are they preaching the happy Jesus, the one that said, "Neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more"? See, when you start realizing how much God loves you at the local church, you start feeling a residue of his anointing that comes on you at the local church, your life gets better. It's a proven fact. I've watched people who are horrible alcoholics for years. They abused alcohol and they couldn't control it, or they had some kind of addiction that they couldn't control. And then they got involved in a connected church. Somebody was asking them about their arthritis. Somebody was asking them about their situation, and their life got better. The thing that I'm concerned about with you is this. Some of you sitting at church today, you're intermittent about the church attendance. And maybe even you might make it. Here's what I see. You might have went to church and you know all about these hymnals. I mean, you kind of know them. You know, "When we all get to heaven," you know, "Peace like a river attendeth my way." You know these songs. "Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me." But your kids don't. They're really busy with this. So we have an app for that, right? So Faith Church has an app. We're trendy. We don't have hymnals. But at the same time, we have to preach the value of church attendance to our kids, because we want the statistical data to work for them. We do want their lives to be good. We do want their grades to be good. We do want them to realize there's value in Jesus and there's value in the local church. So the people that I sit beside every Sunday, the ones who make it and have a great life are the ones who make God a priority. Matthew 6:33. There it is. Let's read it. "Seek ye first." Let's shout that together. Seek ye first. Not second, not third. What is it? First. When we seek first the kingdom of God, then all these things will be added unto us. But we get really busy with Little League, and we think that Chucky's going to, you know, be the next big football player or basketball player, and all those things are good, but they will never have the kind of life that they need to have, even if they make it professionally. How many professional sports players do you see that their lives are totally upside down and they're on the news for no character, doing something crazy? Maybe it could be that somebody prioritized sports above God. Now, I'm all for sports. I think it's great. In fact, some of my friends are NFL players, and I always say, not for long. Come on, turn to your neighbor and shout, not for long. So it doesn't last forever. The one thing that lasts forever is Jesus. His rock, his word. Jesus spoke to Peter, and he asked him this question one day. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And he said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah." Everybody had their different opinions, and you got to kind of picture it. They were in this religious kind of area, and they had different statues of different gods. And God's kind of walking through this, you know, big area of other gods, and he goes, "Who do men say that I am?" Kind of puts it in perspective, right? And so he says, you know, who that me people say, but he said, "I say that you are Jesus, you are the rock. You are the Petros, the rock. And God looks at him and says, Peter, I'm going to build my church on that rock of revelation. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the only one who died for our sins, went to hell, resurrected himself, came back alive, and now is in our world. There are many gods, but there's only one true and loving God, and his name is Jesus. And so if we don't raise our kids in church, they wander around. They head down the wrong path. I'm begging you today, because I know how this ends. I've been to the end of the cave, and around the corner over there, life, fulfilling life, only happens when we realize that Jesus is the rock of revelation. And most of the time, his revelation comes from his house. Now, that you know as well as I do, the only way that we can actually roll with that kind of mentality and thinking is be involved in church where we feel God, where we sense his presence, where people have their hands raised and they kind of recalibrate themselves. They dial themselves back in to what is important in life. Because sometimes we blow stupid stuff way out of proportion when it really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, if you want your grades to be good, if you want your children to be taught and raised in the admonition of the Lord, you have to do what the Bible said, which is to teach and train your children in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. The question now is, how are you teaching your children? Is it intermittent? Do they ever see you reading your Bible at home? These are things that you only hear when you go to church. You're at church right now, you're sitting there, and you're going, man, this is hitting home. We're having fun, right? But I'm telling you, the great fun is later in life when they say, man, I remember when my mom and my dad would get up in the morning and they always read their Bible, or they read this devotional. They put God first. Because your kids will not do what you tell them to do. They're going to do what you do. And you know as well as I do, there's those moments in your life where you see your kids and they do something or they say something. You go, oh my gosh, that looks horrible. That sounds horrible. But you know where they learned it from. What are they learning from you? That's the big question. Are they learning good behavior? Or are they learning bad behavior? Are they learning faithfulness? The faithful man shall abound in blessing. If we flip-flop that, the unfaithful man, he won't abound in blessing at all. There'll be a lack of blessing in your life. So I'm just encouraging you today that you made the right decision. You went to Faith Church. You're sitting there today, and you found a pair of jeans that works for you. The next thing is you have to continue in that. And then you have to find yourself some crazy friends to be around. You know, Austin, my son, he preached a great sermon the other day, and I loved it. He was talking about the story in the Bible where this guy is a paralytic man, very sick, and he doesn't have any way to get in the church. The church was so packed out. You know, I picture it being a church like this, and there was only so many seats, and Jesus was there. When Jesus is there, people show up. That's why you came to Faith Church today. And all of a sudden, Jesus is up preaching, and there's a hole begins to get torn. They're tearing the roof off the church. And then three guys begin to lower this dude down. And Jesus goes, whoa, I'm amazed at their faith. And then, of course, the guy gets healed. You know the rest of the story, and it's miraculous. But I don't want to just focus on the healing, although that was incredible. I want to focus on the dudes that were with him. The people that were in his world, the people that were in his community, these people knew that Jesus was the answer. They knew church was the answer. And they were willing to do whatever necessary to get their friend to church. And they lowered him down. That's my next big question to us as Faith Church, and maybe you're watching later on television. Not only are you going to church, friends don't let friends go to hell. Come on, say that with me right now. Friends don't let friends go to hell. Yeah. So are we sitting on Monday beside somebody at the water cooler and we're never inviting them to church? Are we, you know, at Little League with someone and we've never told them where we go to church? And in fact, it was kind of a cool story the other day. We were at this event, and it was a local event in St. Louis, and there were thousands of people there. And you know how sometimes you have some kids and you have to work the concession stand to get your kid on the soccer team or the baseball team. And there was somebody at our church that I knew, you know, as soon as I went to buy my drink, and they're like, oh my gosh, Pastor Crank, what are you doing? How are you? And then the person next to him goes, oh my gosh, you go to that church? And then someone else a few things down said, man, I wonder if my pastor's here. And the person said, who's your pastor? And they said, I go to Faith Church. He goes, that was your pastor. He goes, are you kidding? Come to find out, everybody, I think it was five or six of them, they all went to Faith Church, but because there's many locations and many different services, they didn't know each other. I thought it was cute and fun, but here's the part that kind of freaked me out. I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys are so not doing your job. You're supposed to be inviting people to church, finding out if they're Christians, if they go to church, if they're happy. we certainly weren't doing that. And this is not pointing a finger at anybody at church. I'm just saying that we've got to make sure that the gift we've been given, called the local church, the happiness that we're feeling, the life change that we're receiving. The Bible said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Are we doing that today? Are we going to the highways and byways and compelling them to come in? Jesus said, I've made this great supper. I built this church, and I called all these people who love me, and I had blessed them so much with a truck, with a car. They said, I can't come because I have land. I just got married. Remember that story? Jesus said, well, go into the highways and byways and compel them to come into my church. Listen, we've got to make sure we are evangelistic, that we are going out there and motivating people to church so their life can ever and forever be changed. You know, I've found that every step towards order is a step towards peace. You think about it with your closet. You go in there and clean it out. You make it look better, feel better, smell better. You feel like, I accomplished something. Same with your car, right? Feels new again after you really clean it up and take care of it. Order brings peace. The local church brings order. When we prioritize God, we put God in the center, we make church a priority, we don't forsake the assemblies of ourselves together, we're faithful, it brings order. But then God also is kind of into the details because he knows for the next level that you go to, there's going to need to be more integrity, there needs to be a more stability. In fact, I've heard it said that new level, new devil. Come on, shout that with me. New level, new devil. You know it. As soon as you go to another level, all of a sudden in a corporation with an organization, your relationship goes to the next level, there's this fighting, there's this schism because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He tries to destroy it. God wants to bring order because it brings peace and tranquility. And he might do it in weird ways. Here's the perfect story. Right now, I'm going to give you a story. This is the benefit of going to church. Okay, so I wasn't a preacher right now at this moment. We built this great house, and there was this pool, and we had these two Dobermans. They were gorgeous dogs. We loved them so much. They were gentle giants, you know. People were scared to death to get out of the car, but they were actually just at the car because they wanted you to pet them. But everybody thought they were killers because they just looked mean. But the problem is they loved to tear up the lawn furniture. And more than one time, they took the lawn furniture by the pool, and they just ripped it to shreds. Well, one day I came home from work and they had done it again. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what a mess. And I was going to wait tomorrow for somebody else to pick it up. That kind of helped us around the place. And I felt inside me the Spirit of God go, no, watch him bring order, which brings peace. He goes, I want you to go pick that stuff up. So I'm picking it all up. It takes 20, 30 minutes to pick it up. And then I turn around and I go to walk back in the house. And I just got, you know how that thing that says, you know, you turn around or you're talking too much or go back and tell them you're sorry. That's God. So all of a sudden I turn around and God says to me through this like still small voice, just in knowing, go pick that up. You still see the pieces in the thicket over there? And I went and got it. Why? Because God brings order. Once I picked up all those pieces, I felt like I did what was right because it was right. I did it to the best of my ability, and it just made me feel proud. I know that's a small thing, but maybe we can start with the small things in your life today. Go home and clean that closet. Go to the car wash and vacuum that car out. Every move towards order, I promise you, will start releasing endorphins in your life. It'll start making you feel like you're in control instead of the situation being in control. So today, any move toward God is a move towards order. Now, that's something you learned at church today, right? Order, peace, tranquility. The Bible says, follow your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. So listen to that small voice this week, and he'll direct you. Pick up that trash. There was a woman who is a great evangelist, has built missions around the world. And when God began to speak to her in Fenton, Missouri, and tell her, hey, I want to raise you up, God said, I want to start by you taking the cart back. She's like at Target or something. God, I want to take the cart back. Nobody takes the cart back. He goes, no, take the cart back. What was that? A move towards order. I'm talking to you right now. You need to make this move towards order and stand for something or you fall for anything. You're drawing a land of the sun today, Sunday. You're saying, for me and my house, the order is I'm going to bring them to church. Their daddy don't come to church, that's fine. Or their mama don't come to church, that's fine. But you, as for me and my house, we're going to the church because that's the order that I'm going to start with, and God loves order. You remember the story in the Bible where Jesus watched this order happen. There's this guy who had basically a happy meal and everybody needed to be fed. There's 5,000 men, and the Bible didn't acknowledge women there, but if there were 5,000 men, there were 5,000 women, and if there were 5,000 men and 5,000 women, there were 27,000 kids, right? There were people everywhere. And the disciples come to Jesus and they said, hey, listen, these people are hungry. I think it's probably the disciples actually ready for him to shut up. You know, it's like, shutty Jesus, sermon's too long. In fact, I've heard that a good sermon has a good ending and a good beginning. And the ending and the beginning, for it to really be good, they need to be as close together as possible. And so that's why we're wrapping this up here in a moment. But Jesus looked at him and he said, what do we have right now in our hand? God doesn't need another job for you. He doesn't need more money. He can do a miracle with what's in your hand, but he's going to want order. He looks at the disciples and says, what do we have? It's like, well, this boy over here has got a Happy Meal. He's got these little few fish and a few loaves of bread. Jesus said, bring it to me. When you bring your life to Jesus, he brings order. Jesus breaks it. He lifts it to the Father, and the Father multiplies it. But the first thing God did is he said, take all these groups of people and set them in piles of 20. Set them in piles of 50. He had order. God always establishes order before he brings the blessing flow into your life. And then God began to multiply it. You know the story. They actually had 12 baskets left over. The dude had 12 more Happy Meals than he started with at the end, because order brings multiplication. Order brings blessing. Order brings favor, not only for you, but that little boy went home knowing he fed everybody. That was a local church experience. That was order in action. Maybe your situation today is, I need more peace. I do need more money. I need more whatever. All the multiplication comes through God, structure, and order. And when you put God first, trust me, you won't come in last. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all you could ever ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that works within you. But if you stay in the world and not in the Word, you think worldly, and so you think these stats, 1 out of 4 people die of cancer, belongs to you. It doesn't. Only with your eyes will you see the reward of the wicked. With long life, he'll satisfy you and show you his salvation. He has healing for you. None of these stats work on us because we are the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We run towards the roar. We're like David. We go towards Goliath with our mouth open, and we have our slingshot and we have that stone of the Word of God, which we hear on Sunday, and we apply that bad boy on Monday, and we stop the slang. We stop the violence that is coming at us, and we run towards it because we have order, we have structure, we have church. We are the people of God, and that is the difference. So again, order, one step towards order today will bring peace in your life. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to raise your hand today if you say, Pastor, I need to value church more. Raise your hand if you know that. This is God built this church for you. He caused me and our staff to give our lives to build a local church so that you could forever be changed. Maybe you should think right now as I pray for you about how you could serve the church, how you can help the church, how you get involved in a small community at the church. You have to connect. You need the accountability. You got to be together. Together, we're stronger. Father, I pray right now for our church in West Palm. I pray for our churches in St. Louis. I pray for all of our people and family online who are watching, maybe on vacation. They couldn't make it because they're too far away from church today. I ask you to touch them, to bless them, to heal them. God, I thank you as they prioritize you and your Word and your house, you will make your priority and your focus once again on them. And God, their life will forever be changed in the mighty, matchless, powerful, wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Give it up for God today.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.